Hello, everyone. This is Understanding Insurance with Chris and Cam. And today we have a special guest with us, Ms. Leanne Oldacker. Leanne lost her husband, Dave, in 2021 after a heart transplant surgery. And while grieving the loss of her best friend, was faced with the financial challenges that come with losing your spouse. Today, Leanne and Christy are going to get into how life insurance helped the Oldacker family and why life insurance is so important for couples to invest in early.
Leanne, thank you so much for being with me today. First of all, I just want to say thank you. I'm so grateful that you're willing to even sit in this chair across from me and talk about a thing that nobody really ever likes to talk about. And I personally am just so grateful for you and you wanting to even help me like this. So you're amazing. You're wonderful. I love you. And thank you. So I just wanted to make sure I started off with that. So this podcast is in honor and in memory of your wonderful husband, who I only got to briefly get to know, David Oldacker. So this is in memory of Dave. And I would get to see Dave every once in a while and didn't get to know him as much as I would have. I feel like I know a lot about him just because I've gotten to know about you. And yeah. I did get to know a lot about Dave, unfortunately, after Dave wasn't here anymore. So today we are going to talk about you and Dave and a little bit about your story, a lot about Dave's story, mm-hmm. and then more about what happened after Dave passed away. But first, I want to know, how did you guys meet each other?
Well, we worked at Costco together for 25 years. And so we'd known each other for a really long time, but mm-hmm. we didn't get together till like 10 years ago. So,
okay. So you started dating because you met each yes. other at Costco.
Yes.
Okay. And you dated for 10 years and then you got married after how many years of being together?
We got married in 2018.
In so December. It was a long time.
Yes, it was enough time.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys got married yes. in 2018.
Yes.
And when you started dating Dave, did he already have heart issues?
So Dave did already have heart issues, but you wouldn't have known it. Mm-hmm. So when I started dating Dave, he'd already had a pacemaker mm-hmm. and a defibrillator because a few years before that, he had a heart attack and a stroke.
How old was he when that happened?
He was in his early 40s.
When he had a heart attack?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was due to, they said, viral cardiomyopathy. Hmm. So he got a cold and it like spread to his heart. And then later on, they found out that he had some genetic factors that, you know, were part of why he had a heart attack so young. So he had a heart attack and stroke, and then he got a pacemaker and a defibrillator, and he took medication, and I didn't even know he had really any problems. I mean, I knew that that had happened because I was around and I saw him during that time.
He seemed like a pretty healthy guy,
yeah.
basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so we had plenty of years where he was fine,
mm-hmm.
and then he started to not feel so good, and then that's when we started going back to Stanford and mm-hmm. doing everything.
Okay. So progressively, the issue just continued to get worse. And then eventually, from what you've told me and what you've shared with me, is that Dave ended up getting up on a heart transplant
yes.
list. How long was he on that for?
So we knew that he'd need a heart transplant at some point, mm-hmm. but it just seemed so far off.
Like always, it was yeah. always there.
Yeah. Okay. Like, but he was so fine and he didn't even go to the doctors when I first started dating him. And so it
Men.
Just, seriously. And it was so far off that I'm like, really, do you need a heart transplant? Because
yeah.
he seemed, I mean, he was good.
Right.
And so, let's see. Eventually, in 2018, in October, mm-hmm. he was sick enough that they said, okay, let's put you on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went to get on the heart transplant list.
And so he waited for a while and he was...
We'll back up real fast.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So we went to Stanford in October, end of October of 2018, to get him on the transplant list.
Mm-hmm.
So they admitted him for a few days. Did like all the workup. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tests you have to do to be on the transplant list. And during the transplant workup, they found cancer in his lymph node.
Oh, right.
And so they came and said, hey, you have cancer. And we're like, you're in the wrong room because we're here for a heart transplant.
Right.
And so that was fully shocking for all of us and the team at Stanford. And so at that point, well, you can't get a heart transplant.
Right.
And they did get him on the list because it's hard to do that. They wanted to make sure they could still do that. So that he did get accepted on the list. And then the doctor told them, well, he's cancer, so take him off. So
he had to beat the cancer at that point to get back on the list.
Correct. And you have to be in remission 5 years.
Holy cow. Wait, 18. That's 2018.
Yes. We beat that 5 year mark.
Okay. I'm like,
right.
Okay. So he goes through cancer treatment.
Correct.
And beats it. Basically.
He went into remission.
And then I remember you also saying he got COVID.
Well, that's a different time. So he went to get, we were doing cancer treatment. He had moved to Stanford and we were doing the cancer treatment. And halfway through it, his heart completely failed, which we knew it couldn't handle that. And so he ended up with an LVAD. So he was in the hospital for 3 months, really sick. And an LVAD is a left ventricular assist device. So he had a power cord sticking out his stomach and controller to keep him alive. And a lot of people do that. It's like a bridge to transplant. You stay on that until a heart is available. But in our case, we had to stay on that until he was in remission long enough.
Gotcha.
And the goal is, or they don't let you be on the list for 5 years. But his team fought really hard and got him on the list after 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is a miracle.
That is a miracle.
Yeah.
So he gets back on the heart transplant list again. And then I know that he still had a few things, like I just alluded to.
Yes.
He got COVID.
He got COVID, which he's the worst case for someone like him to get COVID.
Right. Okay. So, and he beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, he got COVID.
He was in the hospital for a few days and then he was
heart
fine.
Transplant list and beats cancer. Yep. Gets COVID, makes it through that. And then the good news comes in that he has a match, a person, a donor.
Right. And he was on the list for like 3 weeks only.
Right.
So, and they passed up on a bunch of other hearts for this perfect heart. And it was the perfect heart for him. And so, I mean, and we were good. He was good. It was like the best day.
Right.
Said bye to everyone. We drove down to Stanford.
Right.
And I mean, 98.
Everyone was excited for you. We all knew that this was happening.
Yes.
Anybody that was a part of your lives and close to you, everybody knew that Dave was going down to Stanford to get this new heart.
It was great.
And you guys were going down there. Right.
And the chance of someone passing away during the transplant, it's only 98% make it and at Stanford and 93% make it the first year.
Gotcha.
So he'd already been on like only 10% survive this LVAD cancer thing. So now he just has a very high risk or high probability that he's going to be fine. And so we all thought that.
Right. So Dave has the transplant.
Yes.
And they complete the operation and they tell you things are going well. And this is in a very short period of time. This is in one day, basically. You're told that things are okay. And then what happened?
So the transplant started at like 7 o'clock that Saturday night. And then the doctors were talking to me all throughout the night. And there was a few complications, but nothing too crazy. Nothing we didn't really expect. And so the next day he was in the ICU and it was like 11 a.m. and they finally let me come up and see him.
Right.
And so the doctors were like, okay, this is where he's at. He made it through the surgery. The heart was beating great. Everything was great.
Right.
For the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then he was on an ECMO machine, which is a heart and lung device that keeps like all your organs and your brain getting blood flow. And they put him on ECMO so that the heart could just have a few days to like acclimate to the new body. And the ECMO machine had like one of the hoses or whatever, it burst a blood vessel in his stomach.
Oh.
And so he just bled into his stomach. So they worked on him for like an hour. It was amazing what they were doing there. All the surgeons were in there. Like they were doing everything they could to save him.
Right.
I knew, I was like counting the minutes that since that I was in there when it started happening.
You were in the room.
Yeah, I was with him and he wasn't awake yet. But I knew at that point it had been way too many minutes that there was no blood flow to his brain. And so that was our one deal, was I would never keep him alive if he wasn't him.
Gotcha.
And so.
Okay. And so at that moment, you have to make this very difficult decision for yourself and you made your decision. And Dave passed away that day.
Yep.
Yeah. Which was absolutely, obviously unexpected. I know that you've shared with me in the last year that wasn't what you guys, you had a lot of plans.
Yes.
You you went into this operation with this expectation that everything was going to be okay and that the chances were probably very high that everything was going to be okay. So it was obviously extremely, under any circumstances, it would be horrible, but to have this expectation potentially that everything's going to be okay at that point, yeah, and we're just going to move forward and we're going to get Dave better and everything's going to be okay. So I got to see a lot of you after, you know, all of this happened, mm-hmm, and you, when you came home, and I don't want to, in an effort to try to not make things too emotional, and for thank anybody you that's listening and watching, yes, you know, my goal is not to make Leanne cry today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But trying to convey your emotions, if you can, of what those few weeks were like for you emotionally.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be long and drawn out, you know, like, did you feel numb? Do you even remember what you know, are there days that went by where you just, I'm like, I don't even know what happened on Tuesday. Like what?
When I left the hospital, I mean, I'd never left. I hadn't left his side forever.
Yeah.
For the longest time. And so it was, I didn't know what my purpose was, where I was. He wasn't there with me. There was all these things I didn't have to do.
Right.
It was the first, I was like in go mode.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm going to get all these things done. I have all these things to do. Like I didn't let myself sit still for a long time because it was too painful to think about like what was.
Staying busy was your answer to getting through the grief process for you at that point.
Yeah. So I stayed busy. I did all the things. We planned the funeral like that.
Okay. And,
but it was devastating to say the least. I mean, the nights were the worst.
Of course.
Just driving home from anywhere was the worst because I'm driving home and he's not there.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, and it's still like that for me. Mm-hmm. But those first few weeks, they're like a blur. So much happened and so many people were in my life to help. And then someone brought food every night.
Right.
And there was like someone with me all the time, which was what I needed. Right. And it was great.
Right.
For that, to have all this support and love, but
it was horrible. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, you saw me then. Yeah. It was a mess.
No, it was, and rightly so, of course it's going to be that way. Well, the purpose of my bringing you here today was actually to hear about this story. You know, I wanted people to hear this story, and I remember you and I having a conversation. It was probably about a year ago where, you know, Leanne and I are in this group together and it's through our church, and we're so fortunate to have gotten to know each other really well and some other ladies that are there, and we really are growing together. And so this one particular night, Leanne said something, you said something to me that I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. You know, she was talking about how she got life insurance and she had all this money and she didn't know what to do with it. I remember that actual sentence that you said. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting across from you and you said that, and I was so filled with joy to hear you say that. And that's strange to hear anybody say that because my job is selling people the stuff, you know, this life insurance, and to sit across from you and hear you just say, I have all this money and I don't know what to do with it. We should all have that problem, first of all. Right. And so my purpose really to bring you here today, I think was to get to know more about you and the time after Dave passed away and really how this life insurance has impacted your life and how it's changed it. And not so much, you know, how much money did you get or what did you do with it? But I want you to explain to me and to anybody that's watching and listening what it meant to be able to have this cushion of money underneath you as you were emotionally just like falling apart. Yeah. So Dave had life insurance before he got sick, correct?
Dave had life insurance through his work.
Through his work.
Before he got sick, yeah.
Okay. So he had purchased a life insurance policy. Was it like a benefit that he got through work?
So some of it was a benefit.
Okay.
And then you can purchase additional.
Okay.
So he had both.
So he was given a certain amount as do you recall, was it a very small amount? Because generally when you're given a group life insurance plan from work, it's a really small amount. Like I've asked people, how much do you have? And they're like, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's really important to know.
Yeah. It's definitely important to know how much life insurance you've got. So Dave had this benefit of life insurance that was given as a part of where he was working, but then he decided to buy more.
Correct.
Okay. Which he was paying for. And then Dave got sick.
And then Dave got really sick to the point where he couldn't work at all in 2019. And so he no longer had benefits at work. And then he was on mine because we were married. So,
and you worked at the same place as Dave.
So when you work for a company and you have life insurance through your company, if you no longer work there, or even if you work there, but you don't qualify for benefits anymore, you now no longer have life insurance.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So that was like, he no longer had benefits, so he's no longer going to have any life insurance.
Got it.
So,
and I think that it's really important to know that Dave bought life insurance before he got sick. He got to a place in the life insurance world, we call it being uninsurable. Mm-hmm. So Dave ended up at a young age, by the way, in his 40s, becoming an uninsurable person. Correct. So I've talked to a lot of people who are under that age and they're like, I'm so super healthy and nothing bad is ever going to happen to me. And I will never get any kind of disease or illness or sickness that happens to, you know, the rest of the human population. Yeah. I will be the one who doesn't get that. So I think it's really important for everybody to know that Dave got this policy before he got sick. And I think that that's something that I'm trying to tell people all the time.
And we were thankful that he did, because once he no longer had the benefits and he was already really sick, they gave us a very short window of time where you can, I don't know exactly what it was called, like portability or something, where we could take that policy and pay it ourselves 100%.
Gotcha.
And so, and it was really expensive. So we had to pick and choose, like, what are we going to, how much are we going to pay? And
yeah,
and it was really, and we only had like 30 days to do it. And he was in the hospital, like really sick. It was super stressful, but so you don't want to be stuck in that mode, having to try and figure out life insurance at the last minute.
But I mean, ultimately he ended up owning his own insurance policy because it wasn't something that he was getting as a benefit.
Correct.
Yeah. And I tell people that all the time, you know, if people at your work are going to give you life insurance, for sure, take that, but you should always own your own insurance policy because it'll be with you no matter what happens. Yes. If you lose your job, if you decide to go to a new place and have a different job, if you become uninsurable, which can happen to a lot of people, or you get to a place where life insurance ends up being really, really expensive.
Yes.
So that does really happen for a lot of people. If you could tell people what the life insurance, like having that life insurance money. I know that you didn't go back to work for a while.
Yeah. So bereavement leave is 5 days. I mean, I don't know how anybody can just be off work for 5 days.
Right.
And at that point, I'm not working and we're not getting any income because Dave passed away. And it's like a super stressful time. You have this funeral to plan. And I knew that there was some money coming in. So we had money set aside for things. So I knew I could afford a funeral.
Right.
I knew I could do it the way Dave deserved to have it done.
And it was a beautiful, wonderful, lovely.
Yes.
So lovely.
And that was all because I knew that there was life insurance this case, if this were to happen, even though we were to the point where this was not going to happen. I mean, we were planning our whole future. Like, I know you're sick and you're on a transplant list and people are like, well, you should have known it was going to be bad. But in this case, no one expected him to not make it that day. And so,
I mean, if you've beat cancer and you've beat COVID while you have cancer and heart, I mean, I don't think anybody goes into a situation thinking the idea that you would be like, you know what, there might be a chance that you might die.
Yeah.
That's not the frame of mind that you've got when you're ready to expect somebody to get better from a long-term illness or cancer or heart disease or any type of thing that as human beings we go through. The expectation isn't that somebody's going to die, but the reality is we do.
Yeah. And so after that, I knew that, I mean, I was a mess. I couldn't go back to work.
Right.
Like, my life had stopped at that point. And I think for so many other people, it does too. And I was just fortunate that we did have this life insurance and I was able to stay out of work longer. And in this day and age, most people rely on two income families.
Yeah.
And now we have one income.
Right.
And I don't get Social Security because you have to be in your 60s to get Social Security. So at that point, as a widow,
that's
which I
good
hate that word.
Information to know.
Yeah, because you know, you think, oh, you're gonna get Social Security,
right,
but you don't. You get nothing. Well, actually you do. You get a $250 benefit one time.
So, so you'll get Social Security benefits from Dave, but you need to wait until you're in your retirement before you can get that?
So when you're 63, I think it is, then you can start getting some. But they said if there's any left. I don't even exactly know what that means, but I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any left. So I didn't have, I'm thinking I'm going to get some income, mm-hmm. which can help pay the bills, mm-hmm. and there's nothing
right
at all. So I'm like,
so you
great.
Could have been going through major, massive, life debilitating grief, yes. and being totally freaked out about how you're going to pay your bills
Correct.
Every month.
So I'm on this Facebook group with young people who've lost their spouse. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you how many of these young women in their 30s and 40s have lost their husband and they are having to work. And they have little kids and they didn't have to work before mm-hmm. and they're losing their house. Mm. And I am so sad for them. And I'm just so grateful that I'm not in that situation.
Right.
But it's because I had life insurance.
Right.
And Dave had life insurance. And so.
Well, there we go. We yeah. can just wrap up right now right. because Leanne is going to sell you all life insurance.
You need life insurance.
Right. No, but you're absolutely yes. right.
And they're literally broke. Mm-hmm. And making GoFundMe pages to just afford right. a funeral, right. which is so sad.
It is sad. I mean, GoFundMe is a fabulous organization yes. and it does a lot of really yeah. great things, but it's limited yeah. and hoping and praying on the charity of yes. in most cases, strangers to help you. And that's like so little, you know, people mm-hmm. don't have any idea exactly how much life insurance they have. And it's probably a whole lot more, you know, than people ever think. They're like, oh yeah, you know, $150,000. Well, that's, think about how long yeah. it takes you to earn $150,000. Right. And that's not no. very long. So yeah, I think that that's yeah. the key is that women and men, it doesn't have to be moms no. with kids. It can be dads with kids. It can be older people. It can be anybody.
And I remember growing up and in my household, my parents had life insurance because my mom didn't work for most of the years when we were younger. And my dad was the main money earner. And there's four of us. Mm-hmm. And if something happened to either one of them, if something happened to my mom, what's my dad going to do? He doesn't have to take care of four kids and have to work.
Right.
And vice versa. If something happened to my dad, my mom would be like these women on this Facebook page.
Right.
With nothing. And what do you do?
Yeah. And I think that there are a lot of people who can relate to that story.
Yeah.
I think what people forget is I don't think people really understand what it's like to be in that aftermath part of losing somebody that's so incredibly mm-hmm. ginormous in their lives. And you know, money, as they say, makes the world go round, unfortunately. And when you're faced with this enormous amount of grief and then just survival, as you hear with yes. these ladies, it's a compounded effect that I think just really brings a lot of people down. I've heard a lot of stories of men and women who have to move in with family members yes. and they're working off the charity of other people. And yeah. you have this independence about you that really, I think that came from having a life insurance policy and Dave having a life insurance policy.
Yeah. And there's one on me. So we knew that if something happened to me, that there would be something to help Dave.
Right.
You know,
because he would have needed
know.
It too.
Yeah.
He was struggling to, wasn't working.
Yep. He yeah. wasn't working. And so that all of that was the aftermath of losing a spouse is, I can't explain how devastating it is. It's debilitating. Mm-hmm. And if I would have had to worry about having to go back to work mm-hmm. right that day or in 2 weeks or even in a month, if I would have to worry about how I'm going to pay my mortgage mm-hmm. or my electricity bill, mm-hmm. because that's what it would have come to. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this society and day and age, it's really hard to have a lot of money saved.
Right.
And at that point, you know, we did at one point like rely on that. We had a GoFundMe and people really helped us at the beginning. Mm-hmm. That was great. And that, I mean, we could not have made it through at that point, you know, but right. at some point that's not there mm-hmm. and you have to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And after someone dies, like this day and age, it's just like, we don't talk about death. We don't talk about right. what it looks like after. We don't want to say, oh, your spouse died or your, you know.
Right. People don't like to talk about that stuff.
Correct.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I have to talk to people about death and dying. And that's why I think it's so difficult for people to buy life insurance, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of superstition around it. Oh. And so having the opportunity to talk to someone like you, who I love and has been down this road, I think you hold a certain perspective that can educate so many men and women about why it's such a vital part of any good estate planning, any good marriage, any good parenting. Having life insurance is a huge part of that. So to wrap this all up, because you've been so amazing and gracious. I love you. I can't stop telling you how much I love you. As advice to other people, like if you knew that they were on the fence about buying life insurance, if you could have this conversation with them, I mean, I think it's clear to people. What would you say to somebody who's on the fence?
Well, I remember when I had that choice to Dave and I did to continue paying like out of pocket money for his life insurance or not. We thought, well, we could use this money for this, or we could have extra money for that. And we chose at that point for the life insurance. And I'm so thankful that we did. Mm-hmm. I would say to someone else, make that choice. It might feel like a sacrifice, like you're sacrificing something by having another payment every month or something to that that fact, but it's a peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And you do it for your loved one. Like, right. I am here because I wanted to take care of Dave. Mm-hmm. And so having life insurance for me to help take care of him, that's me taking care of him after I die.
Right.
So that's something that someone can do for you after they pass. And that was with my dad. He wanted to make sure that if he passed away, that he could still be taking care of my mom. Mm-hmm. And same. So figure out how to get life insurance. Because you never know.
Absolutely.
One day you can get a cold and then all of a sudden you have a heart attack and you're like, what happened? You have no idea.
Exactly. Life is unexpected and life insurance is exactly there for the unexpected.
Yes. And it's to take care of the people that are left behind.
Yes.
We're the ones suffering.
Right.
And I can't imagine what those few months would be like if I was also worried about having to move and how am I going to pay for all of my bills and all of that. And I knew I had this extra money to help me. And so it made it bearable, if that's the word you can use.
Bearable is a good term to use because unbearable would be horrible,
right?
Yeah.
And now I'm 15 months later since he passed, and every day is still really hard, but I got through it. Mm-hmm. But thankful that I had this extra money, this life insurance that really made the biggest difference. I cannot explain.
It made you more comfortable.
I'm thankful that I'm not one of those Facebook stories where I'm one of those women saying, I don't know what I'm going to do now. It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. Yeah. And I hate to hear people say things like that. Yeah. So, Leanne, you are the best. Again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you for being here today and helping me educate other people and Dave.
Yeah.
Helping.
Thank you for letting me talk about Dave.
Yes.
A lot of people don't.
I know
when someone
love
passes,
to talk about Dave.
They don't talk about people that died. And I'm like,
I know.
I talk about him all the time.
I know you do. And I love talking about him. And I love that he is in this moment and present right now. Yes. And he's educating people, because this wasn't something that you did by yourself.
No.
You guys made this decision on life insurance together. Mm-hmm. And he is still helping you be better and have a better life. And, you know, we don't ever have any expectation of how bad it's going to be for the people that we leave behind. So I'm so grateful for Dave and for you both. And I'm glad that you were able to sit with me today. So
thanks for having me.
Thanks to Leanne and thanks to Dave. And I love you.
Love you.